Okay, everybody good. Okay, now, last night somebody asked me about grating cheese on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Was that you, Livia? Yeah, so here the Rabbi Ribiat book says that although cheese, meat, eggs, etc. are exempt from the malach of toching, grinding, maybe chopped or ground on Shabbat, grating these foods with a grater or other device specifically designed for grinding purposes is forbidden. And then he goes on to say that it's uvda d'chol. It's like a weekday. In other words, it's like he says it's the type of malacha tool whose use is too closely associated with the malacha activities. So that's where it comes out. I'm sorry. Last night when you asked me, I just thought I was just thinking in terms of the chopping, but they're right. The tool comes out in uvda d'chol. Okay, then. Is Malka here? Or well, let me wait till Malka shows up. Then, Yosef, you had asked me about Breira on Yantiv. So I spoke to Rabbi Eli Belazon today. He said that Breira is permitted under certain circumstances on Yantiv, subject to certain limitations. And then, with the colander, I'm still working on that with the noodles. Okay, with the colander. Okay, the he I had asked him. He said he's going to get back to me. I want him to like. Okay, now today we're on Kuf Lamed Chet. Everybody with me? Nice to have the whole chaver here. Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. We're 6 lines from the top. Okay, near the 2 dots. So the Gemara says, "Ve'inot nim l'tulya b'Shabbat." According to the Chachamim, we're talking about a strainer. If you have a strainer for wine, wine has sedimentation in it. So I want to pour it through the strainer, so the sediments are retained in the strainer, and then the wine comes out at the end. So according to the Chachamim, I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbat. And according to the first opinion, Rabbi Lezer, you could do it. You could do it. So one says you can strain, one says you can't strain. So Ibailahum, Shimer Mai. So the question was asked in the base matters. Let's say a person, he did the straining. What's his level of his chayvus? Is it Doraisa, Drabanan? What's going on with that? So Amar Rav Kahana, Shimer Chayav Chatat. Rav Kahana says he's chayav on a Doraisa level. In other words, according to the Chachamim, it comes out that according to the Chachamim, you shouldn't be Mishamer. And if you strain on Shabbat, you're violating Shabbos on a Torah level, and according to Reb Lezer, you could do it. He says here, "Matkiflo Reb Sheshet, mi kemidi derabbanan mechayvi chatat." Reb Lezer shari lechachila. Do we ever see something where the machloket is so attenuated? One opinion holds you're violating Shabbos on a Doraisa level. One says you have a green light to do it. Now there are some situations in Shas where you have it, but it's not so common. That's the basic question. So matkiflo Reb Yosef, alamalo. So Reb Yosef says, why not? Like Pervusnesh, you'd say in Yiddish, right? So well, why not? He says, Hare, Ir Shel Zahav. Now remember, we had this in an earlier parak, the Ir Shel Zahav, right? It was like a type of like golden, I don't know, tiara, whatever, with Jerusalem in it in gold. Remember, I mentioned at the time, I think Rashi mentioned that Rabbi Akiva said he was going to, if he made the money, he was going to give his wife an Ir Shel Zahav. Right now, they didn't have money. And then later on, Rabbi Akiva became very wealthy. Chazal teach us he became wealthy from 6 different things. So, Alam Alo, Arei Ir Shel Zahav, the Remeir Mechayev Chatat. Remeir says, if a woman wears the Ir Shel Zahav, it's not a tachshit, it's a masui, according to Remeir Mechayev. Reb Lezer Shari Lechadchila. And Reb Lezer says, you have a green light to wear the Ir Shel Zahav. So that's an example where they have 2 extremes. So it's not unheard of. He says, "My he, what is the what's that sugya?" The Tani, we learned the Braisa, and he had this earlier in Daf Yomi. A woman shouldn't go out with an Ir Shel Zahav. She goes out, she's chayav chatat, because it's not a tachshit according to Remeir. It's a masui, it's carried. He says, Chachamim say she shouldn't go out, but if she went out, she's patura, means patura balasur, means it's a tachshit. We have to be concerned that she'll take it off and show it to her friends. So it's rabbinically prohibited, right? I know. Okay, now, Reb Lezer Omer, Reb Lezer says, who wears an Ir Shel Zahav? A woman who's like aristocracy. Nobody else can afford this. So she's not the type that's going to take it off to show to people. She's like above that. So she can go l'chachila. So the point is that we do see that there could be a machloket from, min ha-katzeh l'katzeh, because in the Braisa, Reb Lezer says you have a green light to go out with the Ir Shel Zahav, and the Remeir, the Tanakama, holds that you're chayav chatat. So it's not so. So the fact, the way we want to explain the Mishnah, that it's min ha-katzeh l'katzeh, is, you know, not out of the out of reach. So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says it's not a proof. In other words, now Rav Yosef was deducing this proof, right? So Amar Le Abaye, Misav Reb Lezer Ad Reb Meir Kai, did you think that Reb Lezer was speaking or referring to Reb Meir? Reb Lezer is the one who says you have a green light. Reb Meir says Chayav Chatat. He says the Amar Chayav Chatat Ad Rabbanan Kai. He's addressing himself to the Chachamim, the Amri Patura Valasur. In other words, the Chachamim says Patura Valasur. I say it's a green light. But Amar Lahu Ihu Mutar Lachachila. So the only thing is this. Teirutz, it's not so strong. So the way it's coming out at the end, the way the Art Scroll has it, then really we're going by Rav Yosef that indeed it could be that the machloket is mina katzeh lekatzeh. Rav Lezer holds that you're allowed to strain on Shabbos, and the Chachamim hold you're chayav chatat. That's the way it's coming out. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, what's up, Yosef?
So how does this answer the question? Do we usually have extreme cases, or we don't have extreme cases?
We usually don't have them. Here he's saying, and here he's saying. So he was proving here that we had an extreme case. So
he rejected it,
right? So Abaye says that's not such an example of an extreme case, but his teirutz is kind of attenuated. You know, he's speaking to one, not the other. So the halacha, we don't really accept Abaye's refutation, and we think more like Rav Yosef, that indeed we could have the machloket. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's see further. Okay, now, Mishumai Matrinan Bey. Now, if a person is about to do this straining, what's the hatra? In other words, when you give hatra, you have to say what you're going to be over. So he says here, Rabba Mar Mishum Borer. Rabba says you'll be, if I want to give hatra to somebody who's about to strain the wine, so Rabba says, we'll say to him, you're going to be chai for Borer. Borer is selecting because the sediments will stay in the strainer and then the wine will go down. He says, Rabbi Zera Mar Mishum Rakit. Rabbi Zera says, Mraket, which is sifting. Now, if you remember earlier in the Masechta, we learned in Klal Gadol, the Gemara said, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Mraket. Those three Malachot are, in essence, very similar one from another. They both involve separating Psolet and Ochel. They all involve Psolet and Ochel. So Rashi points out that Rabba, who says Borer, will agree with Rabbi Zera that it could also be Mraket. That's the way Rashi learns it. But Rabbi Zera's Mraket does not agree that it's Borer. Borer, we'll see in a minute. Borer is separating the psolet from the ochel. We'll see in a minute. And Meraket is sifting. I have a sifter, and then the psolet stays in the sifter, and what's good comes out on the bottom. So Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Kavati didi mistabra. My pshat is more correct. And we're on 15 lines from the bottom, Michael. Kuflamet Chedamet Aleph, 138a, around 15, 20 lines from the bottom. So Amar Rabba, Kavati didi mistabra. It's more logical the way I said it. Madar koshel borer, no tel ochel miniach psolet. How do you do borer? You take the ochel and you leave the psolet. And we'll talk in a minute about that. Av hachanami no tel ochel miniach psolet. So to here, in other words, the wine is coming out. I got the ochel. The psolet is left behind. Now, the only thing that's difficult is, if you remember earlier in Klal Gada, we didn't say that. We said it was psolet mitoch ochel that we took. Do you remember when we spoke about borer? We said borer is taking the psolet, moving the psolet and leaving the ochel.
Here it's saying, the way is around.
Yeah, here it's saying taking the ochel and taking the psolet. So Tosfos on Daf Ayin Dalid discusses this, and he says when there's a lot of ochel, a little bit of psolet, so then I take the psolet from the ochel. When there's a lot of psolet and a little bit of ochel, so then I take the ochel from the psolet. So here he's saying with the wine, I guess there's a lot of sedimentation in the wine. So we're saying we're going to take the ochel from the psolet. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Kavati Di Misabra. Rabbi Zera says, my position is logical. Mardar Koshal Meraki, psolet milamalava ochel milamata. When you're Meraki, you're sifting, you leave the psolet upstairs, and then the ochel goes downstairs. So to hear the same way. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Ask a question on borer. I mean, it's really selection, like you said, but aren't we making selection decisions all day? In other words, if I choose this dress instead of that, I forgot to prepare my close right. before Shabbos.
Yeah, so if remember, this gets into when are you allowed to do Borer. In other words, if I see I have different clothes, I just pick out the one that I want and put it on right away. So that's permissible. That's permissible.
And but if I put it on and I'm not happy.
But if so I make a pile, I have clothes, these clothes I want, these clothes I don't want, and I'm not doing it right away. And remember the one element was when you're doing it immediately. In other words, like Brera is usually like awesome. Distort. And then the other thing is, am I segregating or just taking what I want?
So, Alter, yeah, we had that.
Okay. So with the Dine Brera, if you just see the clothes you want and pull that out, I think you're fine. Okay.
When you take this sitter and not that one, you're good and all that.
Right. But it could develop into a Borer if, you know, depending on what you do.
How fussy you are.
All right, now let's take a look. Okay, moving on to the Gemara now. Okay, now we're 10 lines from the bottom on Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. Now we're going back to the Oel Arai issue, the temporary Oel, which we know is prohibited on a Drabanan level on Shabbos and on Yontiv as well. So Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rami Bar Yecheskel, Tvoda Braisa, Talak Fula Lo Yaseh V'Masa Patura V'Alasur. Talak Fula is, it's not necessarily a talus. I mean, he's got a cloak, a garment. He stretches it out on four pegs, and now he creates an Oel. So if he does that on Shabbos or Yontiv, he shouldn't do that. So Talak Fula Lo Yaseh V'Masa Patura V'Alasur. So then he's going to violate Shabbos and Yontiv on a Drabanan level. Now again, a picture book would help. I didn't look at the picture book. Maybe you have it, Yosef. But the second case is saying, let's say he has, before Shabbos, he has this garment attached to a crossbeam, and there's a string attached to it, and then he pulls the string on Shabbos, and now it stretches out. That's permissible because we view it as like the Oel was already in existence, and now he's just like, you know, adding to it. And that's permissible. Baimi Rav Kahana me Rav. So Rav Kahana posed the following question to Rav. Kila Mahu, what about a canopy over a bed? Are you allowed to put that up on Shabbos? So Amarle Afmita Asura. Now, he's going to say a separate halacha. We don't understand them. This is like, it's like a conundrum. We won't understand what he's saying. So you got to be a little bit patient with this. I don't know, Daf Yomi people know patience, right? Okay, so it says here, so he said, even a bed is prohibited. We'll see in a minute. Mita mahu. He says, what's the din about making a bed on Shabbos, preparing a bed? He says, even a kila is permissible. He says, kila umita mahu. What about a canopy and a bed? Kila asura mita muterit. Below kasha. There's no contradiction between these three statements. Hadakamar af mita asura. When we said that even the mita is prohibited, there he's talking about the karmanai. Karmanai, one pshat that Rashi takes it, it's, remember in yesterday's daf, but it's really on today's amud, we had above, I'm looking for the line, on line 3 and 4, b'kisei galin, remember the chair of the galin. Galin was a place. So karmanai, in other words, if it's like a sectional chair, so remember, you weren't allowed to put it together on a Drabanan level because we're afraid you're going to do malacha deraisa with it. So he says, af mita asura, if it's a sectional bed, I'm assembling the sectional bed on Shabbos, that's prohibited on a Drabanan level. I can't do that. He says, hadakamar le af kila muteret, when he said that even the canopy is permissible, kid Rami Bar Yecheskel. That's like similar to Rami Bar Yecheskel, where it was set up before Shabbos, and he's got the string, and now it extends out. That would be permissible. He says, kila asura mitu muteret, the kila, the canopy is prohibited, and the mita is permissible, kidididan. That's like our beds. So I can't set up the canopy. The mita means I have a mita, it's leaning against the wall. I put the mita down on the floor. That's permissible. So the idea is, when it comes to beds, the sectional beds are prohibited, because we're afraid on a drabanan level, you're going to do a malacha with it. And then with the kila, if it's been set up ahead of time and you're just like pulling a string, that's permissible. Otherwise, to set up a canopy on Shabbos is prohibited. Okay? Now, there are two more lines. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Chazil lehu lekile debei Rav Huna, I observed the canopies in the house of Rav Huna, the Mi'orta Negidu, in the evening they were spread out. He says, Umitzafra chavita ramya. In the morning they were disassembled, like thrown. Now, disassembling the OL is as much problem as making the OL. So clearly, in this last case, it was permissible. The Gemara doesn't explain why it was permissible. The only thing that would come out, it would be, I assume that it would have been like that case with the string and the whole thing, but I don't know what else to say with that. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we got? Okay, let me keep moving. Okay, now three lines at the bottom. Amarav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Vilon Mutar L'Toto, Mutar L'Porko. A curtain, I could spread it out and take it apart. Again, for an ohel means I have a covering above me as an ohel. A curtain is like creating a mechitza. That's not a problem with putting up a curtain on Shabbos or Yontiv. But Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya, and now let's turn page, we'll go to Amud Beis. Kuflam and Chenu Beis, top line. Kilat Chatani Mutar L'Toto, Mutar L'Porka. Now, he gets into a different thing. Kilat Chatanim is a canopy for chasanim, somebody who's getting married. He says, you're allowed to spread it out and you're allowed to take it apart. Now, we don't know this. What's really going to come out? Rashi says it's just decorative. It's not something you use. And if you look, if you have the article, you have the pictures, it's a very, very narrow canopy. So it just seems like it's, and Rashi says himself, he says it's in the sixth narrow line of Rashi, V'kilat chatanim eina asui lishan tachteha. It's not made to sleep under it. It's just decorative you have around there. I don't know what's so special about it. So see back in the Gemara, so the top line, kilat chatanim mutar l'toto, so you're allowed to spread that on Shabbos, mutar l'porka, you're allowed to take it apart. So it's going to come out that the kilat chatanim doesn't have a lot of, you know, ceiling. It's just more like a curtain. It's more a curtain, less like an ohel. So he says, Amrav Shesha Berid Ravidi, lo Amran El Sheim Begaga Tefach. That's only if the width at the top point, in other words, there's a cross beam across the top, is less than a tefach. If there's a tefach on top, then I do run into an ohel problem. In other words, I'm starting from scratch, spreading the sheet over it, so then I'm going to run into a problem. But if it's less than a tefach, not. He says, Abal yesh begaga tefach asur, v'chi ein begaga tefach, nami lo amran, let's say there's less than a tefach at the point on top, and you have the pictures in the art scroll. He says, Ela she'ein b'pachot mishlosha samuch l'gaga tefach, that it doesn't widen out to a tefach within three tefachim. That's a din in lavod, at the point, in other words, right, in other words, at the top point, let's say it's less than a tefach. And then when I go within three tefachim, it's wider than a tefach. So then that would count, you know, it's all connected. In other words, I would view it as like a flat ohel on top. In other words, that's lavud. So he says here, if it gets within, and you see, if you look at, if the people who have art scroll can see, if you see there's a picture, I think it's near number three. Do you see the picture? Anyway, so I don't have another picture to show you. He says, "V'lo amar el she'im b'shipua tefach." In addition to which, the general angle doesn't spread out more than a tefach on each side. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach shipua olim ka'olim damu. And again, the art school has the diagrams there. In other words, it's at the bottom of this bed, it's going to be less than three tefachim, basically. In other words, I have the crossbeam on top, right? That's the one tefach. So you have a tefach on the bottom. Then the curtain is spreading out on each side. So the spread on each side is at the end of the day less than a tefach on each side. It's more. The idea is that the wider it gets, the more you have like an ohel. In other words, the wider it gets, it's more like you're creating an ohel. The more it's straight up and down, the more like a curtain it is. So this thing is like it's like a fancy curtain with a slight angle. That's basically what it's coming out to. He says, "V'lo amran el d'lo nachit mipuri tefach," and it's only if it doesn't extend out. Now, when it gets to the bed, that there is a tefach going out from the bed on each side. He says, "V'al nachit mipuri tefach asur." If there's a tefach coming out from the bed on each side, so the Gemara is figuring the bed itself could be ohel. I have the spread on the bed and then the sides. Now the thing is, now he has a plurib in here. Well, how is our bed different than that? In other words, everybody makes a bed on Shabbos, and we have like the sheet will go over the side of the bed. And according to this, it sounds like I run into an ohel problem when I do that. So we look in the art scroll in footnote 6, and he says, the commentators have explained that the above ruling applies only in a case where the cloth is spread out to act as an ohel over the area below it. A sheet spread across the bed, however, was never placed there for the purpose of being a tent. Thus, the bed below it would never be deemed an ohel. That's all I have on that. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
This is just talking about spreading the sheet over this canopy? This is what we're talking about?
Wait, which case? Last case or that we had the 4 or 5 before?
4 or 5 before.
Yeah, no. So it means like this. I have the canopy and I have a cross beam on top of the bed. It was high above the bed. I have 2 posts coming out and okay. then I have a cross beam. I take a sheet and I spread it over that cross beam.
That's allowed.
Well, it depends.
Depends on how big it is.
Subject to all the details we said, that would be permissible. And then even within that, though, it said that at the bed level, the last thing is it shouldn't hang over the edge of the bed. If it hangs over the edge of the bed, then the bed itself will be an ohel. All right? All right. All right, I'm going to move on. All right, now, so we're on the 10th line on Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Everybody good? Okay. Now, Ba'amar Rav Sheshet B'Reid Rav Idi, Hi Siana Shari. Siana is a felt hat. Now we think that the problem is it's going to be like an ohel. We'll see, but the Gemara is going to reject it. So he says, Hi Siana Shari, Va'itmar Siana Asur. But so one statement is that I can wear the felt hat. The other is that I can't wear the felt hat. Lokasha Hadit Be Tefach, where it's prohibitive, the brim is a tefach. A tefach is like 4 inches, so it's a wide-brimmed hat. Since prohibited, he says, had lately petach, I could wear it. So we think it's an issue of the hat being an ohel. So the Gemara says, El Miata, Sharbi Beglima Tefach, what if I have like a cloak on or a talus on, and I spread the talus like past my head, so I'm going to run the problems of an ohel? El lokasha had mahadik had lo mahadik. So the Gemara says, no, it's a different question. It's a question that do I have to be concerned that there's a likelihood that the wind will blow the hat off my head? If it's wide brimmed, it's like got like, you know, propellers or wings, and it's going to like fly off my head. It's like, you know, like the cars, the aerodynamics of the cars. Some cars have a panel on the trunk, you know, to keep the car from lifting off when it goes, because the car is like a propeller, you know. That's from the high school physics. Anyway, so the that's the issue with that hat. Let me see if I hear.
That's Bernoulli's principle: high velocity, low pressure.
Whose principle is that?
Bernoulli.
Bernoulli. Okay. Okay. If you look in Rashi, the word Ella near the Hagodah Bach, Ella Tama Lavishum Oel Hu Ella Mishum Shlog Bihenu Ruach Me Rosho, that we're afraid that the wind will carry the hat off his head. Ba'ati La Tu Yar Ba'amo, it'll come to carry. Hilkach Mahadik Barosho Shapir Shari Lo Mahadik Asur. So he said. So skip it with. So wait. I didn't explain something correctly. Wait. There's something I didn't do right. One second. Wait. So. Yeah, right. So we're not staying with that tefach anymore. We're rejecting the tefach. We're saying that if I can't wear the hat, if it's a loosely fitting hat, if it's a tightly snug hat, I could wear it. We're skipping the tefach part is rejected at the end. Okay, we're just staying snug hat or loose hat is what the whole thing is. Okay, all right.
Does anyone hold a hat could be ohel problem?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. All right. Now, let's see. But you would think the Gemara would mention that case if it was such a situation, but I don't know. All right. So now we're back in the Gemara around 15 lines down on Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Beis. Shalach Li Rami Bar Yecheskel Rav Huna, Emelan Ize, Harach Mili Malitha, the Amritlan Meshmei Derav, Tarti B'Shabbat B'Chada B'Torah. He says, now the article translate Ize, he says, my friend. I think there's different pshatim. I didn't look it up today. I remember, I think one pshat I thought was like then or something like that. But anyway, my friend is the way he takes it. He says, could you review, like there were 3 halachot Rav had said concerning two-way Shabbos and 1 concerning the Torah. Could you, you know, repeat them over? So Shalach Lei, Hadatanya. Good bekistam utarlan sotab shabbat. Now, good bekistam is like this leather pouch, but this has got straps on it. So, if you remember yesterday's daf, we said that the pouch, if I stretch it out, I'm going to run into an ohel problem. Remember, we had this pouch that he keeps liquids in, and he wants to aerate it, and he'll stretch it out, so then run into a problem. Now we're talking about a pouch with straps, so it's not going to be stretched out as much, and it's not stretched out as much, it's less of an ohel problem. So he says, Hadatani, good bekistam utar l'tutab shabbat, Amar Rav Loshanu, Elo b'shnei b'nei adam. So Rav says that you are allowed to do it, but only if two people are doing it. The idea is if one person is stretching it, he'll stick one end of it, I don't know, in a post or whatever, then pull the other end. If two people are doing it, they're not going to stretch it so much. That's it. And then this is only with the straps. The other without the straps also prohibited. Now, Amar Abaye, Bekilo, Afilu Basar Ben Adam Asur. He said, if you have a canopy, you can't stretch out a canopy on Shabbos even with 10 people, even though it's not going to be like a snug, we think it wouldn't be snug, because it's impossible not to tug it somewhat. He says, what's the other halacha? The Tanya, Kira Shnishmato Achat Mi Yarchotel. You have a Kira, is a that type of oven, right? The oven had one of its legs broken off. Mutar l'taltala. So it still has a shame kli, so I can move around with it on. I can move it. Now, moving it, he says, on Shabbos I can move it. In other words, it would be for tzarach gufo makomo. In other words, the kli would be kli shemalachto l'isur. It's a kli that's used for isur, so it is muksa. But I could, as long as it's kli shemalach l'isur, I can move it tzarach gufo makomo. If I need the object, I need the place. But if it loses its shame kli, then I can't move it at all. So he says here, as long as it one leg is broken off, so I can move it. Shtayim asur. Rav amar afilu chad nami asur. Gzeir shema yitka. So one issue is one of muksa. So the first halacha is if one is take it off because it's still usable even if one leg is missing. But if two legs are missing, it loses its shame kli. Then Rab says, even if one leg is missing, you still can't move it. Gzera shema yitka, because it's a gzera that we're afraid that you'll come to affix the leg tightly in it. And he says, if you look in footnote 18 of the article, Rab states that although the oven with one broken leg is not muksa, the rabbis prohibited one from hailing on Shabbos for fear that one would attempt to repair it by reattaching the leg. Okay, so that's that piece. All right, now we're the last narrow line on Kuf Lamed Chenoveh, 138 feet, the last narrow line. Torah, what's the halacha by Torah that it's looking very dark outside. What's the halacha by Torah that...
There's a ton of thunder going on.
I don't think we're going to have outdoors Mincha Maariv tonight, but I can't say for sure. Okay, now, Torah, Da'amar Rav, Atida Torah Shchach Yisrael. Rav says, in the future, the Torah will be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. Shnemar V'vla Hashem Makotcha, Hashem will, you know, make extraordinary blows against you. Haflazu eni yodeyamahu. I don't know what the extraordinary blow is. Kshuomer lachin ani yosif lahaflira amaze hafleva fella. So one pasuk is in Devarim Tochacha. The second pasuk is in Yeshaya, but it uses also the term hafleva fella. Hashem will strike you extraordinarily. Haviomer haflazu Torah. Now in that second pasuk, it refers to like the Chachma. The Gemara quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, but you need the whole Pasuk. And it was the extraordinary striking will in turn will relate to Chachma. So I realize it's Torah. Tana Rabbanan, Sheikh Nesu Rabbatin L'Kerem B'Yavna, when the Chachmim came to Kerem B'Yavna, Kerem literally means the vineyard, but Rashi points out, listen to the Rashi here. Where is it? B'Kerem, it's lower than we are. Hashem Shayu Yoshin Shur Shur K'Kerem. Not that there was a vineyard there, it's just they were sitting in rows, like the Kerem is in rows, so that's why they call it Kerem B'Yavna. Okay, so he says, Amru, back in the Gemara, Amru, Atida Torah Shachm Yisrael, he said the same thing, that the Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Shinem, or Yinei Amin Ba'im Nu Hashem, Elokim, Vishlachli Rabba Aretz, L'Rab L'Lechem L'Lot Tzema L'Mayim. I'm going to send a famine, a dearth in the land, not for food or water, Kim L'Shmoa Divrei Hashem, and there's a song I'm sure you've heard, you know. Okay, so he says, Uchtiv, the Naumi Amad Yam, they'll go from sea to sea, Mitzafon Biyad Mizrach, from the north to the east, Shotsu Levakesh Tavar Hashem, they'll wander to find the word of God, V'lo Yim Tsa'u. So the Gemara says, Devar Hashem Zu Halacha. Devar Hashem relates to, could be understood as Halacha. And Rashi brings down the Memra. Where does he have it? Where is it? Yeah. Yizu Halacha, Kidathiv, La Gidlachem, Devar Hashem, Hainu Torah. In other words, like you see, like there's a Pasuk where it says, you know, La Gidlachem, Devar Hashem relates to Torah, it's Halacha. Devar Hashem Zahakates, Devar Hashem relates to He's saying when the end of Galus will come, Rashi says you don't know where that is. The Dvar Hashem Zunavua. It could also be prophecy. And he says he mentions the Pasuk for that. Umayi Shotsu Levakesha Dvar Hashem. What does it mean to wander to seek out Dvar Hashem? Amru Atida Isha Shtol Kikar Shal Truma. In the future, there'll be a woman. She'll take a kikar, a loaf of truma, from an oven that was tamei. She'll go to the by the shuls and the batei medrash, to find out is it tamei or tahora, and if the kikar is tamei, then it has to be destroyed, burnt. He says, "V'ein mevin," and nobody will be able to help her out. What do you mean? Nobody will to help her out. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can forget and not know. He says, if you look just the Pesukim and Chumash, we'd assume that people aren't going to forget the Pesukim and Chumash. That they'll know the Pesukim and Chumash, the Torah Shabbat Peli may not know. He says, Mikola Ochel Asher Yechel. So it says that it talks about a dead sheretz falling into an oven, and if the food falls into the oven, the food is tamei. So what do you mean they'll forget? They just open the Chumash, they have the answer to that question. He says that she'll want to know, is it a Rishon the Tumah or a Sheni the Tumah? The Ein may be, and nobody will be able to help her out. Now, the emes is, the way it works is, a dead sheretz is an Ava Tumah. So the dead sheretz is in the Avir of the oven, so the oven becomes a Rishon the Tumah, and the food becomes a Sheni the Tumah. That would be the answer. So the Gemara says, Hanami Matnitanhi. That's a Mefurish Mishnah that also doesn't take so much learning. He says, Kidanan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Hasherishim Sabatanur, if a sheretz is in the tanur, and again it's suspended in the air, Hapach Batoko Shnia. So the pot that's there is a Shem Latuma. Shahatanur Tchila, because the tanur is the Rishon Latuma. So that is pretty explicit. But the Gemara says, nevertheless, Mistapkalhu Ada Amarle Rabada Barava Laraba. They will be Misupak on the following question, the Rabada Barava posed to Rava. In other words, Rava, he had a question, and that's what will stump them. He says, Lechsie Hai Tanura command the Mali Tuma, Bateve Pat Rishona. If you say that the sheretz is in the oven and it, like, everything becomes tamei, so why can't I view the sheretz, like, why can't I view the oven as being filled with an avatuma? That the oven is, like, you know, a theoretical model, is filled with, like, the whole, everything there in the oven is an avatuma. And so mela, then the kikar would be a rishon latuma. So amarle, so that was the question he posed to Rabba. So Rabba said, lo min lechsie hai tanur kiman demali tuma. We don't say such a svara. Why? Titania, because we learn in the Braisa, Yeho Yehu Kol Akelim Metamim Ba'avir Kli Cheres. I might have thought a keli could be Metamim Ba'avir Kli Cheres. A keli can only get Tuma from an Avatuma, Tamalomar, and here's the key, is the Pasuk. It says, Kol Asher B'tocho Yitma Mikol Ocha Asher Yechel. Anything that's in the oven will come Tame from food. And that's the key, that they won't chop this part. Ochlin mitamin ba'abir klicheres vein kill mitamin ba'abir klicheres. Then only ochel gets the tumah, not the kleli, because the tumah that's transmitted, because the oven is a rishon the tumah, and rishon only is mitame the food. Okay, Tanya, three more lines, and we'll call it a night, and we'll see if anybody has any questions. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Chas v'Shalom Shachach Torah Yisrael. Chas v'Shalom, the Torah will never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shinemar Kilot Shachach Mipi Zerol, never be forgotten by his progeny. You know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Tveria, right? Tveria is where the kever Reb Shimon bar Yochai is. I think on his kever, they have this pasuk, right? Michael, is that right? All right, I've seen a photograph. It says Kilot Shachach Mipi Zaro. So he says Elamani Mekayim Shatu LeVakeshet Dvar Hashem Lo Yimtzau. So what does it mean? They'll seek the word of God and they won't find it. So if they remember the Torah, what does it mean they won't find it? And here's a nice line to remember. Shlo Yimtzau. Top line on Kuf Lamed Tet Amar Aleph. Shlo Yimtzau Halacha Brua Mishnah Brua Makom Echad. So here you see where the phrase Mishnah Brua comes, and now you have it with Daf Yomi. If you stay with Daf Yomi, eventually you see everything. They won't find a clear halacha or a clear teaching. So the way the R scroll explains it in footnote 1 is clear halacha refers to the reasoning behind the Mishnah's rulings. In other words, they'll have the Mishnayot, but they won't have a clear understanding of the reasonings behind it. And the clear teachings, which is the Mishnah Brura, he says, is the is the accurate text of the Mishnah itself. Anyway, so that's that's what they won't have. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts?
They won't have a Cartesian clear idea.
You all right? All right.
So now, there's a safer hafla, right?
Right.
So what's hafla mean?
Yeah. So this, the say it's a double entendre. It's not. I don't think it relates so much to this pasuk. But you could, but the Hafla is first an acronym for the author's name, Rav Pinchas Levi Ish Horowitz, that was his name, Hafla. And then Hafla could mean something very wondrous. It could mean like that.
Pella.
So, yeah, like that could be why it's called the Hafla. All right. So any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Nice seeing everybody. Let me end up the recording. Let me end the recording here. Okay.